Today on Focus West Michigan, Kent County is launching a new domestic violence court, a Grand Haven bus service is building a new operation center, the latest edition of our Crane's Grand Rapids business brief, and more state and West Michigan news. For WGVU, I'm Joe Bilecki. Today is Wednesday, July 10, 2024. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. Kent County leaders are launching a new specialty court to deal with the rising number of domestic violence cases, WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
In response to what they call the alarming increase in the number and severity of domestic violence cases in recent years, Kent County leaders have created a domestic violence specialty court.
Rather than just being a punishment, if you will, this court model really does seek to identify the root cause of violent behavior and treat the root cause.
Sherry Williams is the executive director of the Domestic Violence Action Network, which coordinates the many community groups involved in the program. The idea is to better support victims while holding offenders accountable in a different way than traditional courts. Judge Amanda Sturkenberg is one of two dedicated to overseeing the cases.
We will be utilizing a 52-week Better Intervention Program, which empirical evidence shows is the most effective program for long-term change for defendants.
It includes more frequent meetings with caseworkers and more face-to-face time with judges, counseling, and screening for additional help that may be needed. Kent County Commission Chair Stan Steck says the innovative approach of specialty courts is worth the investment of county grant money.
While these courts take more time and energy and money to get going, in the long run, the community, the victims, and even the perpetrators are far better served.
More information is available at stopkentviolence.org. I'm Dee Morrison.
A Grand Haven area bus service is receiving a major grant to build a new operations center. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Harbor Transit Multimodal Transportation System is receiving over $16 million from the federal government. Harbor Transit serves Grand Haven, Grand Haven Township, Spring Lake Township, and Ferrysburg, and will use the grant to design and construct a new operations center as it transitions into a zero-emissions fleet. According to Harbor Transit's website, two parcels of land in Grand Haven Township have already been purchased for the new operations center. Upgrades to the system will feature fueling and charging equipment, vehicle maintenance and infrastructure, and electric vans and charging stations. It will also accommodate administration and workforce training facilities for regional transit providers. According to a release from the Office of U.S. Representative Hillary Skolton, the grant is part of the Federal Transit Administration's Bus and Bus Facilities Grant Program, which announced nearly $1.5 billion in funding for 117 projects across the country. I'm David Limbaugh.
The second Adopt-a-Highway event of the year will take place this weekend. During this annual cleanup, thousands upon thousands of bags of garbage are collected. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
Starting Saturday, motorists should be on the lookout. Adopt-a-Highway volunteers will be fanning out across the state picking up litter. A news release from the Michigan Department of Transportation, or MDOT, says participants in the program will clean highway roadsides from July 13th to 21st during the second of three scheduled pickups this year. The Adopt-a-Highway program began in Michigan in 1990 and has grown to involve more than 2,900 groups cleaning more than 6,000 miles of highway. Every year, volunteers regularly collect more than 60,000 bags of trash. Those volunteers include members of civic groups, businesses, and families. Crew members have to be at least 12 years old, and each group must include at least three people. Groups are asked to adopt a section of highway for at least 2 years. Adopt-a-Highway signs bearing group names are posted along the stretches of Adopted Highway. And the year's final Adopt-a-Highway pickup is scheduled for this fall, and that will run from September 21st through the 29th. I'm Jennifer Moss.
A West Michigan dog who didn't make it as a service animal just got a new career as a Secret Service agent. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
Trainers at Wayland-based Paws with a Cause try to help a yellow lab named Mozart become an assistance dog for a person with disabilities, but he wasn't a good fit.
The same way humans have different personalities and require different jobs, dogs are the exact same way.
Communications manager Sydney Baxter says some puppies can't become service dogs due to health issues such as hip dysplasia, or personality traits like being easily distracted, and a multitude of other reasons.
The cost to breed, train, and raise that dog is about $35,000. And so, yeah, it is a pretty big investment in the dog.
Some become facilities dogs at hospitals or schools. Paws Now has partnered with Jordan Detection Canine, a training company that recertifies dogs for police work.
These dogs are high energy. Their breed wants to work. They want to work with people. And so we found an alternative career for Mozart.
He eventually found a new career as an electronic detection dog with a sheriff's office in Kentucky. Then just last month, he earned a big promotion as the first Paws dog to be sworn in to the United States Secret Service.
Mozart definitely found his calling.
Baxter says of the Paws puppies that don't work out as assistance dogs, they've been able to place 86% in new careers. I'm Dee Morrison.
A 20-year-old man from Muskegon has died after he was shot by police early Wednesday morning. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Officers with the Muskegon Police Department responded to the 1900 block of Howden Street around 4 a.m. Wednesday. There, they found a 20-year-old man armed with a knife displaying erratic behavior. According to a statement from the Muskegon Police Department, the man was not compliant with officers who were attempting to de-escalate the situation. Still armed, the subject fled to a neighboring residence and attacked a female bystander with the knife. Officers then opened fire on the subject, who died at the scene as a result of his injuries. The female who was attacked sustained multiple injuries and was transported to a nearby hospital. She is expected to survive. Per department policy, the involved officers have been placed on administrative leave while the Michigan State Police investigate. I'm David Limbaugh.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer signed the Homeowners Energy Policy Act on Monday. It will nullify homeowner association bans on solar panels and some other energy-saving improvements. This was good news for Portage resident Rick Fryman. 4 years ago, he planned to install panels on his roof but was denied by his HOA. Fryman reached out to local lawmakers seeking a change. He says going solar would reduce his electricity bill, but that's not the only reason why he wants to pursue clean energy.
I do have another motive, and that is just the ethical idea of protecting the environment from putting more carbon dioxide in the air.
Fryman says he'll move forward with his solar project. His HOA, the Moores of Portage Association, did not respond to a request for comment. The law does provide for some restrictions on panels' placement and appearance. State funding for Michigan households to help cover the cost of utility bills has run out for the current fiscal year. That's according to the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. The state emergency relief program is designed to assist families who need support covering essential expenses like electricity and heating bills. Nicole Denson-Sobaka is a policy director at the state health department. She says Michigan has seen an increase in applications since federal pandemic relief funds have run out.
So now we're the sole source of funding for crisis assistance, with the exception of community action agencies.
Funding for the state emergency relief program was reduced by $2 million this year compared to the 2023 fiscal year. Applications for the assistant program will reopen on October 1.
A new season of Mutually Inclusive is right around the corner. Join WGVU PBS hosts Kylie Ambu and Jennifer Moss this fall as they partner with West Michiganders to highlight our diverse communities and tackle some of the biggest issues facing West Michigan today, from the housing crisis to race relations. Dive into diverse cultures, experience new narratives, and gain fresh perspectives only on Mutually Inclusive, stories that connect us.
This afternoon in our Cranes Grand Rapids Business Brief, WGVU's Patrick Center talks with Cranes Grand Rapids Business senior writer Mark Sanchez about Trinity Health opening its $6.5 million Rockford Energy Center, Michigan's public universities raising tuition, and office furniture makers predicting sales growth. But first, are we beginning to see signs of an uptick in affordable housing construction across the state?
We need more housing in this state, certainly here in Kent County, West Michigan, Kent and Ottawa counties, Muskegon County. And statewide, the Michigan State Housing Development Authority estimates there's a shortage of about 140,000 housing units. That's compared to demand and need, and that's the most recent figures from that state agency. And this story comes to us from our colleagues in Detroit, Nick Manis at Crane's Detroit Business. And basically, there is some data that the Home Builders Association of Michigan put out in the field last week that said in the first half of 2024, there were nearly 6,000 single-family housing permits pulled by home builders in the state. That's an increase of more than 21% from the same period the year before. So, as you say, beginning to see, perhaps there are some early signs that even with the interest rates still remaining high, your home builders are really beginning to respond to this issue of we need more housing in Michigan. And not just any housing. We need housing, obviously, people can afford. Affordable housing is the buzzword right now, because with this housing shortage, that's forced housing prices up in the last few years. So it's a real issue. And now here's a little bit of data that suggests, as you say, beginning to see that this is beginning to get addressed. And over the next couple of years, we'll see how this, is this a trend? Is it emerging? Is it a trend that's going to continue of how much new housing stock is built in the state?
Sustainability will be the key in all of this over time as you talk about projections and trends. Another trend that we're seeing, and that is higher costs associated with public universities and, of course, tuition being the primary suspect.
Yeah, you know, getting a college education is an expensive proposition in America these days. And it is that time of year for tuition increases at public universities in the state. And we've seen these boards at the universities acting within the last few weeks. It's, that new fiscal year's starting. And so they make those adjustments based on what they're doing with their costs. And bottom line, at Michigan State, there's a flat increase of about $235 per semester, $470 per year in tuition for a full-time undergraduate student. That equates to about a 2.7% tuition increase for in-state undergraduate students at the University of Michigan. You're looking at about a 2.9% tuition increase for in-state undergraduate students and 4.9% for out-of-state undergraduate students. Grand Valley State University here in town, boy, looking at about a 3.5% tuition and fee increase. In Western Michigan, similar 4.5% tuition increase for residents and first-year undergraduate students. As I say, it's that time of year. Your universities, just like anybody else in the economy, are feeling higher costs and cost increases, so they need to adjust their rates accordingly.
There's that floor funding that comes from the state. Has that increased over time?
You know, a lot of times, quite often, it's always that vantage point from where folks sit. There are folks who say, you know, yes, we're putting more money into higher education. In real dollars, yes. But what your colleges will say is that it doesn't keep up with these cost increases. You know, academics don't work for free, and they expect to be paid well, too. So you're seeing this. You're also seeing some declining enrollment and rising salaries, goods and services, continued need for investments in campuses, especially for safety and mental health concerns. And your colleges, your public universities will say what the state's been putting into the college aid fund has not been keeping up with these cost increases.
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids Business Senior Writer Mark Sanchez. Furniture makers are predicting sales growth as what you are calling, or maybe somebody in the story is calling, a steady march back to the office.
That was from the executives. They still call it Herman Miller, but Miller Knoll and Steelcase recently reported their latest quarterly sales. And they were down a little bit. The industry's a little soft right now, but increasingly they're seeing demand pick up. Herman Miller or Miller Knoll, I keep making that mistake, but they're saying the fiscal year that just started for Miller Knoll should be above what they reported in 2024. And for 2024, they reported about a 6.9%, or maybe I'm getting my numbers messed up there, but they reported a little lower sales. And for the new fiscal year that just started for Miller Knoll, there's kind of a wide guidance they offered, but they could see some growth pick up. The good part in their quarterly report here last month was they saw their orders increase, their backlog orders increased 6.9%. Their order rate for future sales, that grew 12.4% from the previous quarter. So there's some optimism there. And of course, Herman Miller reported, or Miller Knoll reported, just about $890 million in sales for the fourth quarter. And that was a 7.1% decline. And I say the fourth quarter for the fiscal year of 2024. And sales for the full year, they were down about 11% for Miller Knoll. Steelcase, a little better, only about a 3.2% decline in the most recent quarter. So they're doing a little better, but Steelcase's orders in the quarter grew 8% globally, 10% in America. So, you know, that's, again, from both of these companies, it's an indication that demand is picking up, that there's an uptick. And all this, of course, is occurring as there's this ongoing, I don't know if debate's the proper word, about return to office and people wanting to work from home. A lot of folks liked working from home in the pandemic and got used to it. But now you're seeing corporate America trying to bring people back to the office and kind of changing their offices to accommodate these hybrid work styles. And what the CEOs, when they were talking to analysts a week or so ago in their conference calls after reporting the results, was saying they're seeing more corporations adopting this hybrid work schedule and also wanting employees to spend more time in the office instead of 2 days a week, going to 3 or 4 days a week instead of 3 days a week, 4 or 5 days a week. But at the same time, having some kind of a hybrid flexibility in their work styles.
Curious to get your perspective on this, because we are talking about that hybrid, the remote and then working on site. What then does the hybrid workspace look like? Are we seeing a reinvention of the office?
Yeah, and you've seen it for a number of years. The pandemic that hit us 4 years ago just simply accelerated this trend. And it's called hoteling space, where workers, you don't have a permanent workspace, a permanent cube or a permanent desk. On those days you're going into the office, you book, I'll work at this space that day. So you're seeing more of these open concepts with spaces there for privacy when you have to have that private conversation or meeting one-on-one or meeting in a group that needs privacy. But you've seen this actually for many years is accommodating this home-work balance. But now when the world changed here in 2020, and as we came out of the pandemic, this trend really accelerated in the way offices are being designed. And corporations with large workforces are now moving to accommodate this trend a little bit more while still wanting people to come back to the office more.
Before I let you go, this would not be a Crane's Business Brief segment without healthcare. Trinity Health, they open a new $6.5 million emergency center in northern Kent County.
Yeah, it's called Trinity Health Emergency Center, Rockford. It's on Northland Drive, just north of 7 Mile Road. Opened this week, it's a 24-hour ER that's, yes, run by a health system, but not part of a hospital. And this is a bit of a trend you're seeing in healthcare in America these days, where hospitals, health systems are opening these ERs that are not part of a hospital. And you can go in for a lot of different situations, including if you're having chest pains or symptoms of a stroke. They can assess, evaluate, perhaps stabilize your condition. And then if you need transporting to the big hospital downtown, they'll have you transported there. You've seen this one that Trinity Health opened this week there near Rockford. There's another one that also opened. It's by Emergency Care Specialist PC. It's called Right Care Clinic. It's on East Beltline Avenue. Emergency Care Specialist, this is a practice of emergency medicine doctors, and they've opened their own kind of ER clinic, for lack of a better term. And McLaren Health is building a new $40 million outpatient campus in Grand Ledge, west of Lansing. It's going to include an emergency department that, again, is not attached and part of a hospital. The idea is to have something that's a little higher level of care than what you can get at an urgent care center. Obviously, if it's, you know, a traumatic injury or traumatic, a serious situation with a heart attack, they're going to send you to the hospital in downtown real fast. But for a lot of situations where people are going to a hospital emergency room, these new type of facilities can handle it very well. It's an emerging trend in healthcare. We're now beginning to see it here in the Grand Rapids market. And the new Trinity Health Emergency Center Rockford is open for business, as well as the Wright Clinic over on the Beltline.
Crane's Grand Rapids Business, Senior Writer Mark Sanchez, thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Wednesday, July 10, 2024. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. We'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.